Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Hezbollah will pay a heavy price. That's according to the Prime Minister, who vows after the strike on the Druze town kills 12 children. Netanyahu says the murder of Druze kids won't pass in silence as security officials meet to discuss the best options. Gallant tells the Druze leaders that Israel will strike the enemy hard. Well, this was over the weekend. Today is Tuesday. What is likely to happen with this? We joined this morning by the member of Knesset, who is Boaz Bismuth. He's the member of Israeli Knesset we're chatting to this morning. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you.
The obviously, since this terrible attack that took place over the weekend, there's almost been a holding of breath, because the question about what will precipitate a larger war or a full-scale war with Hezbollah has been one that many of us and many around the world have been wondering for many months. Is this going to be it? Isn't this going to be it? But so far there has been very little response. How is this playing out at the moment?
Look, it's very simple. I'll ask you a simple question, because I hear a lot of the word escalation from foreign media. I read the foreign news. I'm being interviewed by a lot of journalists all over the world, and they all talk to me about the fear from escalation coming from Israel. My question to them is easy. I mean, how do you define the killing, the murder of 12 little kids in Majd al-Shams? Isn't it escalation? I mean, it's very funny that every time, I wouldn't say funny, maybe it's a bad word I'm choosing in this context, but I would say it's strange that every time, I mean, we're being attacked savagely, the fear of escalation is always the Israeli response. Never people think of the way we are being aggressed ever since the 7th of October.
Of course.
People forget that ever since the 8th of October, Israel was attacked from the north the day after the massacre. People tend to forget that 41 people already were killed from the north since the 7th of October. People tend to forget that almost 100,000 people don't live in their house. And when you come with me to the north of Israel, in this beautiful place that is called Galilee, you will see that towns like Metula, like Shlomi, like Kiryat Shmona are totally empty, like phantom cities. So you must understand, when you speak of escalation, who started it. And concerning the answer, I mean, nobody here in this part of the Middle East really wants war. War is, as I said many, many times, war is maybe sexy only in Hollywood movies. In real thing, in the real life, a war is a tough, rough, and ugly thing. But a nation has the obligation to defend itself and its kids. And if 2 weeks ago, after the vicious attack from Yemen, from the Houthi towards Tel Aviv, that caused the death of one citizen, so I will tell you one simple thing. The life of one Jewish citizen in Tel Aviv does not worth more than 12 lovely angel kids in Majd al-Shams, Druze kids. And this is why I expect my government to have this response. It doesn't mean that you go to a global war, but he who caused the death of 12 little angels has to pay for it.
The reality is, with or without this event, the killing, the murder of 12 children, with or without this event, how is it ever going to be possible for Israelis to return to their homes with a specter of Hezbollah south of the Litani River, hundreds of thousands of missiles aimed at Israel? It's all they will imagine. All I would imagine is the specter of another October the 7th, which means that there really isn't very much option, with or without a trigger event, for Israel to try and deal with this.
That's a very good question. Look, we said that what happened, that what was before the 7th of October will not be after, meaning a terrorist entity reigning in beside our border. It means in the south, of course, with us at war against Hamas. Again, I said against Hamas, not against Palestinians. Mm-hmm. And the same thing in the north, meaning war against Hezbollah, not against Lebanese. We are not at war. We do not see a population as an enemy. We see terrorist organizations as enemies. And by the way, my dream would have been that Palestinians in Gaza and Lebanese in Lebanon would be on Israel's side, on the contrary, cleaning their country from terrorism, which also affects their life. This is something that I don't understand. And I would expect also the international community to do the job. And instead of putting pressure on Israel, pressure on the terrorists and the countries that support them. It can be Iran, of course, and other countries. Now, what I would say is one thing. Look, as I said before, war is always the last option because war is vicious, more war is mean, war is ugly. Yet, we need security. And for decades here, we prevented ourselves from going to this total war because of pressure from the world, because of also, as I said, life is sacred in this part of the world. But what has happened? Meanwhile, in the south and in the north, our enemies, on the contrary, had more munitions, more missiles. And I think that we fell asleep in our guard, meaning, why did they have all those missiles? In order what? To for collection, for, I don't know, fantasy. They need, I mean, in order to attack us. And I think that for years, Israel has made a mistake. Every time we went for cycles of violence in Gaza, for example, in 2008, 10, 12, 14, 18, 21, 22, but we never really finished the job. And even now, listen, even now, try to imagine, let's think you and me together. Let's imagine, okay, I listen to the world community, to international community, and we have a ceasefire. Let's imagine not only ceasefire, we stop the war, as you listen at the UN almost every day. Mm. We stop the war. And then in 3 months from now, or next year, I don't know when, we have another 7th of October. And then what people will say, why did you allow Hamas to reign in Gaza? So we can't anymore take the risk of having another 7th of October, where I repeat again, 1,200 people that day killed viciously, massacred. I mean, I was, you speak to someone who saw the corpse in a situation that you don't even want to think about it. And this is why the smell of death 2 weeks after in the open air, Israel cannot allow itself the same way as Americans cannot allow a 9/11. In France, they cannot allow themselves a Bataclan. And any country cannot allow itself and has the obligation of preserving the life of its citizens. And then I say it again, my dream, in order to prevent this war, that finally international community will understand, A, the obligation of Israel to win this war, B, to put pressure on those countries who permit, allow terrorism to occur. Last remark that is important, you must understand, if Israel does not respond to the killing of those 12 little kids playing football, I mean, like people are watching now Olympics, those kids, I mean, were playing football. What did they do, my God? So you must understand, if Israel doesn't strike back, deterrence, which is an important thing, deterrence which permits, allows not to have a war, deterrence, you can just take it and throw it to the garbage bin. Throw it to the garbage bin, no deterrence anymore to Israel, and then you can count the days, not days, I would say, but months, years, to the end of our Jewish state and the Zionist dream. And only a strike that will be effective will prevent this global war that nobody knows, nobody wants, and I'm the first one who always prefer to live in peace with its neighbors. And of course, not to go to war. My daughter, by the way, right now, with a red beret, is in the army. Hmm. And you think that my wife and I don't worry? Do you think we love it? We're very proud of her.
Of course.
But we're worried parents.
Sure. But how is the war, something that's bothered me, and I'm still not quite clear on the answer yet, is it's very clear that Iran doesn't want to get drawn in directly. They are drawn in through, well, because of the Houthis who they sponsor, Hamas who they sponsor, Hezbollah who they sponsor. It's very, very clear that any, what I call it, any escalation stops at their border. Why is Israel, I can't, you know, never mind the rest of the world, why does Israel allow the fiction of fighting with Hezbollah, with the Houthis, with Hamas, when in fact the head of the snake is Iran?
Okay, so first of all, you're totally correct to mention and to remind the people who are listening to us that the head of the snake is Iran. This is why also, when on the 14th of July, 2015, international community or the 5+1 signed the nuclear agreement with Iran, I was very much, I found it very much disturbing because it was the first time ever that you recognized a revolution, Islamic revolution in 1979 by Ayatollah Khomeini. Mm. So this was something that shouldn't have been happened. And you must understand another thing, revolution, when you have a revolutionary regime, you continue with revolution. Revolution really never stops. It can be in the Soviets, it can be in Iran, the same thing. Now, Iran for many years we say it, and people were speaking about the Israeli paranoia, is reinforcing their proxies in Yemen, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, all over the place, wherever they can. And it is, for me, a question of time till, of course, this confrontation between us and Iran will come. Yet we have priorities. Our priority right now is the South, is to get to eliminate Hamas reign in Gaza, bring back our 115 hostages. I see them every day, the families in parliament. My heart goes to them, and we have the obligation to bring them back. Then you have, of course, the North. But sooner or later, this Iran confrontation will come. Yet, there is one thing that can prevent it. You see, I am someone who gives a lot of respect to population, to people. And for me, people are people. I don't care their religion. For me, a person is a person. And again, as I said, my Jewish religion, or how I am, is to respect and love people. That's how I was born. It's easier for me to love than to hate. And therefore, my hope is that Iranian people, by themselves, people who are suffering from this regime, the same way that in February 1979, they got rid of the Shah because they disliked him, or at least a part of them, finally, this horrific regime, first of all to their own people, will fall from inside and it will prevent us to have this war against them. And don't forget that for many years, we had demonstrations in Iran, and unfortunately, in the Arab Spring, people in Cairo, in Tunisia, in Yemen, or even in Bahrain in a certain moment, were helped by the free world. But I don't think that in Iran, the free world helped enough the people who are suffering in Iran against this horrific, horrific regime.
That is where we leave it. Fascinating conversation. I'd love your thoughts. That's MK Boaz Bismuth. He's a member of the Israeli Knesset, talking to us about the Hezbollah, the attack by Hezbollah on the 12 children who were killed at 7:33.